starting a new shah. The new shah is Shah Shlishi, and it speaks about Avodat Hashem on a much more personal way. If until now we've spoken about Avodat Hashem in a more general way, which meant that it was things that applied to everyone, our goal now is to learn how to hone in for every individual on their individual traits and their individual mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them. He's going to bring sources to show the importance of this topic, and then a while later he's going to bring actual very down-to-earth practical tools about how to discover oneself, their own unique mission in life, and then what their purpose in serving Hashem uniquely is. Obviously, it's a book written for everyone, so it's going to only give you the tools to do that. It won't give you the answers, it'll give you the tools. But at least initially will give us the significance of this topic, and then afterwards give us the tools about how to go in. And the way that he starts is the Gemara in Shabbos, where Rav Huna says, in the Pasuk, Samach b'chor b'yaldutecha, v'yitevecha libecha b'ymei b'chorotecha, v'halach b'darchei libecha, v'mare einecha v'daki kol eile yavicha elokim v'mishpat. So Rav Huna says that in the Pasuk it says, rejoice, young man, in your youth, and may your heart bring you goodness, and go by the way of your heart. But know that all of these things Hashem will judge you for. Resh Lakish amar, ad kan ledivrei Torah, mekan ve'elech lema'asim tovim. So Resh Lakish divides the Pasuk into two sections. When it says, samach bachur b'yaldutecha, it's referring to divrei Torah. You should rejoice in your learning. Lemud b'simcha, umetov levav. You should, when you learn Torah, should learn Torah from a place of, I'm connecting to it, I'm enjoying it, this is my avodat Hashem, and I'm doing it in my way. How do you do that? Halach b'darkei libecha. Lahavin ma shebelibecha lefirot onecha. Everyone has their own unique chelik in Torah. And it's false for a person to try and learn Torah according to someone else's mindset and someone else's way. It's not appropriate that a person hears someone else learning, and the other person says, this is the pshat, and they don't think, does that resound with it? Does it make sense to me? They just say, accept it. That's what you said it is, that's what it is. But they in their own inner world don't agree or didn't even think, does it resound? Does it make sense? Would I have said the same thing? They just blindly accept those words. That will not bring joy in learning of Torah. It might bring satisfaction of having filled the Seder, but it won't bring an inner joy of feeling connected if it's not your learning and your way of your thinking. True learning and simcha in learning comes when a person thinks, how do I understand it? How does it make sense to me? Is that what I would have answered? And even if that means challenging someone who's greater than you, because if it doesn't fit in the words the way you would like to understand it, or it's a svara that you don't think makes sense or fits in, you think it's a kvetch what they're saying, then you should not accept it. Because the true joy in learning Torah will come from your learning in the way that's lefi ra'ot libecha, according to the way your heart desires. Mikan ve'elech lema'asim tovim. And the second part of the pasuk is talking about good deeds. V'da ki al kol eile, al kol ma'asher lemadata, sufacha liten adin im lo tikayim. So Rish Lakish says it in a harsh way. He says, your learning makes you liable. Until you've learned, then you weren't responsible for not having done things that you didn't know about. How could I be expected to do that? I was not aware. Everything that you learn, you become liable for fulfilling that. And therefore learn in a joyous way, with a mindset to accept, to take upon yourself whatever it is that you learn. I just want to throw out, Derech Limud Halacha. I think a valuable way of doing it is the following. Whichever sefer you're learning, Mishnah Berurah, Aruch HaShulchan, or an English book, whatever it is that you're learning, when you learn, you should have a pen and paper next to you and write down ideas that were new to you. When you learn halacha, many of the things you read there will be things that you know already, because you're a living, practicing Jew. So many things will be familiar to you. Some things you wouldn't have known, but they're not going to be relevant and practical in your day-to-day life. For example, if you happen to get to Hilchos Eruvin, and there is an Eruv in your community, and you're not responsible for keeping it, then you don't need to write down every new idea to you, because it's not practical to you. If you will become responsible for the Eruv, you have to review it and write down the new ideas. So if you're learning an area which is relevant to you, and it's familiar to you, it's good that you did Chazorah. But if you read something new, write it down in a separate page, or in a little booklet. And then, at the end of the week, review that, because those are the reasons why you're learning Halacha now. The things that you're anyway doing, you're anyway doing. The things that were new things that you weren't aware of, if you just keep reading, you'll probably lose them. You'll forget the significance of those matters amongst all the many things that you already knew. You say, yeah, in general, I knew pretty much everything that I read there. Okay, I know you knew most of what was in there, but the whole reason you were reading it was for the new points. So write them out separately. That's derech halimut halacha. Have a separate book, write out the new points to you, and then review those new points to ensure you keep them. Because you're liable. As you learn halacha, you become, and you have to learn halacha. And then as you learn halacha, you become liable, you become responsible, that you have to keep everything that you've read. We're now moving into more personal avodas Hashem. And our goal is to do it in a way which will be through simcha. We're not coming to force ourselves into a mold. Avodat Hashem has to be in a way that resounds with uniquely who we are. Otherwise it won't be you serving Hashem. It will be some mold serving Hashem. God's not interested in zombies, He's not interested in robots, and He's got enough angels. He doesn't need more angels just doing His will because they're programmed that way. He's interested in the unique way that you are going to serve Hashem, which only you can discover, and we're going to learn the tools about how to discover it. But a t'nai to know that you're doing correctly is that it brings you joy. That's not. It doesn't work the other way. It doesn't work that everything that brings you joy is definitely Avodas Hashem. Because there are some things which bring you joy, but like the Chaznish said, that Chayv Karas. So not everything that brings joy is, but everything that's within Avodas Hashem that brings you joy, then you know you're doing it in the correct way. And you also know that if it's a burden for you and a tircha for you, and I'm not saying short term, sometimes short term is a burden, but if you're not seeing with time that you're becoming more in line with it and enjoying it more and more, then probably you're doing something wrong. Yeah, if you take that triangle block and you have the round hole and you're trying to get it in and it doesn't go in, maybe it's the wrong angle. So you move it around and move it around and move it around. But if you've moved it around all the way and it's still going in, it's probably the wrong hole. If you're learning in a certain way, or you're trying to work on a particular midah in a certain way, which is not working, and it's not working, and it's not working, and it's not working, to some degree it's a matter of trying harder. After that, it's a matter of changing the direction, changing the method that you're using in serving Hashem. When we speak here about serving Hashem with joy, we're not just talking about your mood. We're not just talking about what mood are you in. Ela simanu la'adam shematza shalom im atzmo. There's an inner life balance that a person arrives at when his neshama is feeling it's being fulfilled and that it's in line with who you are. That's not just your mood. Your mood can go up and go down. Your mood could change. You know, it says by Tisha B'Av, Kara Alai Moed. And Chazal say, why is it called the Moed? Moed is a Yontif. Why is it calling Tisha B'Av a Moed? Because someone who's in a state of Avodat Hashem, even something which is sad or painful, is an opportunity to connect to Hashem. Mima'amakim karaticha Hashem, just as equally as Elahe Harim. Sometimes you're in the Harim, you're in the clouds. Sometimes you're in the Ma'amakim, in the pits. Someone who's only depending on his mood, he's going to go up and down. Someone who, it's about Avodat Hashem, then when he's feeling low, he uses that as a way of serving Hashem just as much as when he's high. And therefore even Tisha B'Av, which is a sad day, is a Moed. It's a point of contact with Hashem. Because someone who's a real Avodat Hashem is able to meet Hashem on every... We're not talking here about external pleasures. Because external pleasures, they give you pleasure for the moment that you have them. But they often emanate in Yetzer or bad midas, and eventually that falls away and it comes back to harm you. How do you know how to get to the correct path? Haloch b'darkei libecha, says the Pasuk. You have to know yourself. You have to know what's unique about you, and then be true to thine own self. You have to be true to who you are, authentically. And you will see that Avodat Hashem will work when you're being authentic with yourself. If someone doesn't know himself, he won't be at peace with himself, he won't be happy in his own Avodat Hashem. He'll be serving Hashem in a false way. And when he comes to then learn Torah, he'll be bothered by the Torah, he won't enjoy the Torah because it's not him learning. This point often bothers me. Someone is learning Torah and they're not enjoying it. They're fulfilling mitzvot and they're not happy because it's not them learning. It's not them doing mitzvot. They have an imagination of what a Jew is supposed to be. They try and live up to that image. And from that image, they try and learn Torah and do mitzvot of this pretended ideal state of self or imagined state of who they are. And then when suddenly they have a desire to do something bad, they're broken. Like, where did that come from? How could it be I did that? I'm trying to be this ideal person because it's not authentic. It's an imagined state. It's an image or a show that someone's putting on and trying to serve Hashem from that place. And then if you've ever had this experience, or a friend have had experience and you were nearby them, where you read a story of a gadol, and then just after reading you say like, I'm going to do that. Or I'm going to be like that. and take that on there, in that way. It's inappropriate. When you read Gedolim stories, the way to read them is to say, what value is being expressed here? And where am I holding on that value? So if you read about a Talmud Chacham who was a big masmid, that doesn't mean that he would only sleep 4 hours a night. That's it. That's the way of being a masmid. From now on, I will sleep 4 hours a night. And you're sleeping through Sdorim, and you're sleeping through Shir, and you're sleeping through Chugim. And when someone comes to you and saying, like, you should get more sleep, and you say, but Rav Avadya would only sleep 4 hours, and I want to be a Talmud Chacham like him. It's like, okay, very good. It was working for him. It's not working for you. So take the value of being a masmid, of not wasting time that he had, and say, where does that fit into my life? Well, I need to sleep 7 hours. I need 6.5 hours. But I waste time in the break, which I could be learning. So I'm going to take the value of being a masmid, and for me it means an extra half an hour of learning during the break. That's how you learn from stories of Gedolim. It's authentic. It's not pretending you're someone that you're not, and wishing to be someone that you're not, and then trying to impose yourself upon that person, and then feeling laid down when it didn't work out. That's not going to work. It's not you. It's not authentic. Avodat Hashem means being fully, brutally honest with who you are and starting your avodah from here. Can you build a building in midair? Can you start the foundation and then floating? You couldn't do that. You can't imagine you're in a place where you haven't done the groundwork. You have to say, I can see that building. It's amazing. I'm right here on the ground. I'm going to start building my foundation from here and build my way up. The first two sections of this book were general avodat Hashem. Those are things which everyone can work on even without knowing themselves very well. But now we're trying to get more personal. We're going to speak more about one's own midas and how you work on your own midas. That you can't do general. Which midas should you start working on what level should you start working on it? It's a prerequisite that you know who you are first. You can only work from when you have a knowledge of yourself. You have to be authentic. And being authentic doesn't make a difference how you dress. It's inappropriate that a person defines his level of religiosity by his dress. And there are people, not everyone's like this, but there are people who feel justified in feeling that they're reaching a level because they dress a certain way. It's inappropriate. If a person reaches a certain level from their inner work, and then they wish to express it by dressing a certain way, that's fine. That's fine. Because it's expressing something inner. But if a person says, I want to be more religious, and so they put on some extra level of clothing that doesn't reflect any inner work, and it's going to harm them. It could harm them. It could inspire them. It could also inspire them. I want to be honest. It could. It could be they'll say, this is what I want to live up to, and I'm authentic with where I am, and I'm working towards that. They could be like that. But it could also harm them. It could be they think, okay, I'm already like this. I'm already on this level. This is who I am now. But then they have this dissonance within themselves of still wanting to do things like they did when they were in high school. How could it be? I'm like this. And then they just don't have an inner, true, authentic building, and it comes out skewed. It doesn't come out pure avodat Hashem. If someone knows themselves, he'll find a way to fix himself. Because if you're not doing it to fix yourself, what's the purpose of knowing? The whole goal of one's inner knowledge is to say, where can I improve? I spoke about this with different people in different contexts over the last 2 days. But whenever a person goes through something challenging, stage number one is being real with your emotions. Seeing where you're feeling, and just thinking through your thoughts, expressing those thoughts, giving a name to those thoughts. Which emotion am I feeling? Am I feeling anger? Am I feeling depressed? Am I feeling upset? Am I feeling fragile? Try to give a name to those thoughts. So first, identify what your thoughts are. Then try and label, give an emotion to it. And then stage three, where am I going with this? Now that I've identified all this, what am I going to do about it? What positive action can I do to take myself a step further? First, you identify who you are. Then you label it by that puts it in a box and recognize it, makes it more workable. It's not just overwhelming of all these thoughts, which I don't know what to do with. And then you say, well, everything that I was brought to in this world and every instant that I'm ever exposed to in this world is always brought to me for the purpose of me coming closer to Hashem. I'm not saying it's a punishment. I'm not saying it's because you didn't do this. That chasa chalila. But everything that ever is sent to you with the goal of you learning from and improving from. Taking a step closer to Hashem from. So after you've identified authentically where you are, by identifying your thoughts, and then by labeling them and seeing who you are and what it is, you say, well, what's my next step? What can I do? And for some people, that will mean, in the case of Donnie, it will mean like looking what he did and saying, well, where can I do something good in an area similar to what he did? And that will be an Ilui Neshama for him. That's one thought. Or it could be disconnected. It could be, well, what do I need to work on? What's an area that I don't feel strong in? And I'll take on this particular next stage tiny baby step in my avodat Hashem, and what triggered me, what was the impetus for me, was the incident that I went through of having a friend or someone I knew or someone I just heard of now passing away, but now it's shaking me. And that's my next step in avodat Hashem. It always has to lead to action. And our inner knowledge of ourselves now, the whole goal is working on ourselves. This is not the same as other knowledge. A person has a whole inner world which only he can discover. It's impossible, almost impossible for him to get help from someone on the outside. The only thing a person on the outside can do is give guiding questions. Give guiding questions to help the person then look in, what they call an inner search, to answer those questions and then come up with an understanding of who he is. That's the only thing a person on the outside can do, give guiding questions. But the work is you. The work is me. Every person has to say, the work is only me. Maybe I can go to someone else for guiding questions, to think, how do I start thinking about it? Where do I go? And that's what the Adi Shor is going to help us with. He's going to give us those guiding questions. But it's going to be futile next 2 months if we read this Adi Shor and don't do this inner work. In fact, the opposite. It's going to be detrimental. Because once you learn about the obligation and the importance of recognizing your authentic, true inner world, and you don't do it, it's as if you're saying to Hashem, Hashem, I don't want to serve you authentically. I'm happy to do it in a superficial way and you leave it there. If you never heard of it, okay, so you're superficial. But it's not your fault. You never heard. But once you realize you can serve Hashem in a much more authentic, true, deeper way, and you don't do that level of depth of thought, then you're held accountable. Why? You could have served Hashem in a more true way. Why didn't you? Hare olam, hare mada, v'rak adam echad yochol lisod mada zeh. That's what Rashi says. V'haloch b'darkei libecha, when the Pasuk says, and you should go along the ways of your heart, Rashi comments, however you see fit. Kefi ro'ot einecha. However you see fit doesn't mean arbitrarily. Do whatever you want. But it means you have to look deeply and see who you are. No one else can help you with this. In the world. They can help you in the outer world. They can give you guidance. But no one can help you in the inner world. The inner world is just you. Yidiyat atzmeinu einu mada mesuyam. We have to train ourselves to look within. We have to train ourselves for the inner search, to understand ourselves deeply, to start working towards Hashem from an authentic place. The Adi Shor now just makes a statement where he says, I'm not going to be looking at any outside sources. We don't need modern psychology to help us with this. Everything I'm going to be bringing is Gemara and Rashi, so the two sources we've brought already, which teach us this principle. And as we're going to go through, all sources we're going to bring are authentic Torah sources. So a person has to learn himself, come to an inner balance and peace with himself, and then he will know that he's on the path to becoming an Eved Hashem. Shleimut amidot hechareach la'asayad Torah u'malotea. So a prerequisite, or not a prerequisite, but a primary first avoda that you have to work on is perfecting one's midas. That's what we heard from Danny last night as well. That his Rebbe said. Rav Noam, who spoken the last, just before the father, said Danny was bothered by the fact that how could you have left out Tikkun HaMidos? Chazal tell us, that and this is this time of year, Dafka, that there are 48 ways to acquire Torah. And we have to contemplate the words of Rav Chaim Vital and Shara Kedusha. He says the following. The foundation of Avodat Hashem, he calls the midot hem yusod v'kisei v'hashoresh. There are external things in a person's actions, what they do later on. That's all external. That doesn't reflect the real you. The actions you do is just the fruit that comes at the end of the tree which comes from the roots. But we're doing root canal here. We're going down to the source. The Sefer Rav Chaim Vital, the Talmud of the Arizal, says that a person has to contemplate not his actions but the source where they come from. And when you start to learn how to look at your actions, identify where did that action come from? What made me do that? You start to look in your inner world and understand yourself in a much deeper way. It's hard for a person to immediately identify his midas. But it's very easy to see your actions. We have to learn how to analyze our actions. I acted in this way, why did I do it? A classic example is when you're short with someone, upset with someone and angry with them. You have to pause and ask yourself, what's going on? Why am I like this? Is it that they upset me because I did them a favor and they didn't return the favor and I'm feeling there was an injustice done? Is it that they upset me because they're doing much better than me in yeshiva and I'm jealous of them? Is it that they didn't even upset me at all, but someone else upset me and I didn't feel that I could answer that person because I felt timid in respect to that person, and now this person I feel more I can have power over, so I'm just taking it out on them? A person who's superficial will just say, he annoys me. But as a person learns to analyze themselves, they'll say, an action that I did, I'm able to think about it. Where did it come from within me? Now there's no chart, you know, it's a hard thing at the beginning to identify. But as you start to pay attention and you start, well, where is it coming from? What just happened to me recently? What in him bothered me? Would I have been bothered by that same phrase if someone else would have said it? Would I have bothered that phrase from the same person on a different day? And as you start to learn the sugya of yourself, you begin to identify who you are, what triggers you, where you emanate from. He quotes now the Rav Yisrael Salanter. Hagam shatora mesura lebnei adam lachtoch einea kefi marot seichel enoshi lo nichbashahi la'asot ba kechefzeinu al pi tzchurot ratzoneinu pigulhu lo yiratze lahashiv tshuva l'shoaleinu tzedek v'l'shofteinu meisharim. It's not beyond us, the Torah. It's given over to us, it's within us. We have to follow the Torah, follow the halacha according to the way that we understand it. Hashem, when we say Lo b'shamayim, it means that Hashem gave us the Torah to analyze according to our own way of seeing. And our own way of seeing is what defines what the halacha is in this world. Obviously, we're talking about gedolim who are pasuking halacha. But in respect to ourselves, Hashem trusts us. We've spoken about this before, but sometimes you grow up in a family where you're not given the opportunity to choose. Your parents choose everything for you. And that takes away the free choice of man, where he says, every choice I have, I'll ask my parents or ask other people what I should do. And the avodah that we're doing here, we're learning how does one develop within themselves the ability to identify oneself and paskin for themselves. I'm not saying in halacha. But paskin within themselves, their own midas, their recognition of who they are and what they need to be doing in their world. And there's a sense of empowerment that we're having from this chapter that we're learning. Hashem empowers us to take control of our own lives. He gives us the reins to determine what our midas are, how we need to guide our lives, and we're held responsible for them. But he trusts us, he believes in us. He believes we can do it. You know, we say, Mode ani lefanecha, melech chai v'kayam, shehechezarta bi nishmati, rabba emunatech. Doesn't say rabba emunateinu. Should say that. We have great faith in you, Hashem. But it should say, thank you, Hashem, for bringing us back to life. We have great faith in you. A declaration of our faith. Doesn't say that. Rabba emunatecha. If you gave me a new day, Hashem, if I woke up this morning, that means, Hashem, you trust me that I'm going to make the most of this day. You trust me that you have empowered me to make a decision in my life what I'm going to do with my life. Every morning when you wake up, you're saying, Hashem trusts in me. Rabba emunatecha, you trust in me greatly. Sometimes you speak to a person and you don't hear they trust themselves. They say, maybe, don't know, I'll ask someone. The Torah's guidance is that Hashem trusts in us. And if He trusts in us, then surely we can trust in ourselves. Anu chayvim livsok halacha lefi sichleinu. HaTorah nimsa rak l'seichel ha-shofet b'ri negiyot. We have to be very careful. Because there's a lot of bias within one's vision. There's a lot of mistaken judgment within a person's vision. There's a very healthy Yetzer Hara, who is an excellent ventriloquist. And it makes it sound like he's your inner world and your inner voice, and he's telling you exactly what's best for you. And therefore, a major work that we're doing in identifying oneself is differentiating between the higher self and the lower self. Where is this voice coming from? Is this the true me, the real me, the me that's looking out for what's really good? Or is this the kind of thing that's going to, I know from experience, if I listen to this voice, it's going to make me feel upset with myself and depressed afterwards. And as you learn to identify which type of voices within yourself, which guidance within yourself are the type that lead you to be productive, proactive, successful, follow them. And when you hear things in yourself which you know will lead you to feel yayush, giving up hope, I'm not worthy, ignore them. And you'll learn to differentiate. Only someone who knows himself will be able to identify which are which. And then he'll be able to guide himself through life in a healthy manner. Einenu kuvusha etzleinu shenuchal la'asot ba kefi sh'olah la'seichel ha'mushuchad menegiot. Hashem didn't give our lives over to us for us to use in a biased way, in a misconstrued way. השואל מאיתנו דין תורה וסומך עלינו לקבל תשובה לעמיתה של תורה, ואנו משיבים לו מה שאלה שכלנו משוחד. If someone asks us for guidance, but we're biased, and therefore we guide him according to what we want the answer to be, but not what's authentic for that person, it's like a korban nishchat v'machshevet pigum. It's like someone who has the thoughts, I'm doing this korban, but I'm going to eat it a day later. It's not in line with Hashem's will. You have to guide yourself in alignment with Hashem. And the way you do that is by sifting out all those thoughts which are unhealthy and which are damaging for you. Pigulhi lo yiratzeh. When a person is biased, it damages him. So to conclude, avoda kibira mutelet aleinu. We have an awesome job ahead of us. We're learning Torah emet. We're going to learn now how to filter Torah in a way that we clarify Torah according to who we are, our unique way of viewing it, but in a way that's without bias. And it's hard now, right? Because if we're trying to look for truth, we want to trust other people. You tell me what the truth is. I can't trust myself, I'm biased. But then Hashem says, no, only you know the answer. No one else can give the answer, only you. You say, but I don't know, I have bias within me. He says, okay, so you have to find the answer and get past the bias. There's no other way, solution. You can't ask someone else. Only you know the answer, and if you have bias, you have to overcome that. Milvad ha-yegiyah ha-nora'ah lo-tzi devar halach al-briyo, alav la'amol tarat tzichlo. And therefore our avoda here, which majorly comes through learning Gemara. When you learn Gemara, and you have to be truthful. You can't let things go past if they're not fitting into the words in an honest way. You're setting yourself up for success when you come to analyze your inner world. Because you'll judge your own thoughts in the same way as you judge a sugya. And when your thought comes to you and you say, that doesn't fit in, that doesn't fit in. That thought is damaging me. It's not fitting into my healthy way of life. It's not fitting into my avodas Hashem. And you'll analyze the thought and you'll rule it out, just like you rule out a krum svara. When we're learning Torah, we can't allow any negiyah to come into us. That's the tahara that we have to do. So with Hashem, we'll continue. The Ilu Neshama, Chana Chai, Bas Bela, with Natan, I think. Maybe Natan Ari, either Natan or Natan Ari. To learn and perfect ourselves, and our avodah that we're, our learning and our avodah that we're doing here will be in Ilu Neshama for her.